what I have to say, I think you'll agree, be quite simple. And yet I make no apologies for saying that which many of you will already know. We shouldn't apologise for saying what the Holy Spirit has placed on our hearts, however simple it is. And perhaps some of the younger ones might have found the readings a little difficult, so perhaps this might be for you. I'd like to turn again to the Roman epistle, just to some remark that was made yesterday, chapter 5. You can just read Romans chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we are enemies, we are reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. The remark was made that got me thinking. In the early chapters, we read of the blood of Christ answering to our sins. And after verse 12 of this chapter, the death of Christ, answering to the sinful nature, to sin. And it got me thinking about the need for intelligent study of the scriptures. How we take account of these things that differ. Because it's one death of Christ, and yet we read of his blood, we read of his death, and the answer to different things. And if we go into Galatians, there we read also, for example, in chapter 3, chapter 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. The same death of Christ, but now the Spirit uses this word, curse. He was cursed. He was made a curse on the cross. And we get crucifixion mentioned, and the cross. Again, it's a little further down this, a little further on in the book. Chapter 5, verse 11. The end, we have the offence of the cross. When we read of the cross, it is the shameful death that is emphasised. So we have many expressions for the death of Christ, and they're not used haphazardly, but the Spirit of God chooses these different expressions. Again, something I'm sure we all know. We've also had mentioned today, we spoke of the sin offering. There are five offerings in Leviticus 1 to 7. And yet there was only one offering of Christ. But the Spirit of God has very carefully given us five different offerings. The burnt offering. The aspect of the one offering of Christ, it was all for God. The meal offering. The life of Christ leading up to his death, to his offering. The peace offering. Not an offering to make peace, but the offering to celebrate a peace that has been made. The sin and trespass offerings that follow, the non-sweet savour offerings. Offerings that deal with, take up the matter of sin and sins, the reparation for the sins committed. It is one offering of Christ, and yet God has very graciously given us five offerings in the Old Testament that will speak of these different aspects. We have to be careful now, separate these things out, because these things overlap. You couldn't offer certain offerings without other offerings. These references that we've read in Romans and Galatians to the cross of Christ, crucifixion of Christ, and so on. If we follow them through, we'll see there is overlap. But there is a different emphasis. And when we read through the scriptures, we need to be intelligent as to this matter. Another one we can mention is the Gospels. Four Gospels God has given us. Some people try to harmonize this into one, but in so doing they lose out, because God has given us four different Gospels. Matthew's Gospel, that speaks of the Lord Jesus coming as King to his own people, the Messiah. Mark's Gospel, the Gospel of the perfect servant, prophet of God, ever obedient to his Father, immediately acting according to the Father's will. Luke's Gospel, the Gospel of the perfect man. John's Gospel, Gospel of the Son of God. And yet again, we cannot separate these out. John's Gospel, that speaks of the deity of Christ, speaks of him weary by the well of Sychar, weeping at Lazarus' tomb. Matthew, the Gospel of the perfect servant, starts, or Mark rather, the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. For the servant is none other than the Son of God. So we can differentiate these things, but we can never separate them. It's one life, and yet four different Gospels that give four different views. And if we are to study these scriptures intelligently, we need to take account of these things. We've started now in Romans, and when we look at any book, I would suggest it's very important to read that book from start to finish, ideally in one sitting. Perhaps do that twice, three times, to get an outline of the book. This is not a superficial reading, but a reading to get the context. And then we can read it and slow down and take account of these things. To take account, for example, of the way the death of Christ is presented, because that will tell us a little bit about the book. To see how the Lord Jesus, or God, is presented, because again, that will help us to understand what the book is about. Just take one, Philippians, very well known chapter, chapter 2. We have the Lord Jesus as that one who took the lowest place. Why? Because the problem in Philippians were two servants that didn't get on. And so we have the perfect example of Christ as the one who was taking the lowest place. And we can go through any book of the Bible, and we can get help to see how the Lord Jesus is presented, how God is presented. Unique names of the Lord Jesus or of God, very important. We go to Titus, we see God as Saviour three times. The Lord Jesus as Saviour three times. And yet, in other books, that name is not used very often at all. So it gives us an idea. And we need to go into these things and study them. As I said, these things are not very deep, perhaps. But it's what the Spirit has given me to bring before us. The need to, when we study these scriptures, and we've had a lot of help today on this portion of the Epistle to the Romans, and I'm sure we will have noted how brethren have used their understanding of these things to differentiate between sin and sins. There's only one letter in the English language that's different, and yet it's vital for us if we're to get a grip of this book. We've noted there was this key division in chapter 5. Again, very important when we read through these things. It's good if we try to understand and make a summary ourselves. When we read a book, try to study a book, to write our own outline, to see where these divisions should be. Not necessarily where the chapters have been added. We've had that in the studies. But if we do these things ourselves, it will help us. It's one thing to listen at conference, but it's another thing to read these things for ourselves, to make them our own. What we hear, we should go home and we should read the scripture and to see if these things are so. Make them our own. We can just repeat what we hear, but there'll be no power in such a testimony. And if a test comes, we might give these things up. What we hear, we need to go home and study these things for ourselves. Likewise, we should avail ourselves of good literature. There's some very good literature in the bookshop. But we cannot rely on just repeating what we read, even if they are valued brothers that write them. The only thing we can do is to go back to the scriptures to confirm if these things are so. And once we've made them our own, well, then we can live these things out and we won't fail. When the test comes, we'll be fortified and we will be able to stand for these things. But we need to read the scriptures intelligently to distinguish these things. When we understand, for example, these five offerings in Leviticus, we understand what they mean. Well, we'll see then that there are certain psalms that correspond with them, that are along the same lines. Gospels also, we can line up with these things. And we will see these epistles also aligning with these things. The scriptures are one. They're not a collection of things that are written individually. It's a collective whole. Everything aligns up perfectly in the scriptures. And as we study these things and read them, I hope we will make them our own. Again, I don't want to go beyond what the Spirit has given me. This is what the Lord has laid on my heart, and I will commit these things to you and pray that all of us will be helped, especially perhaps the younger ones, to study these things out at a young age. What we learn when we are young will stay with us. When we are old, it is difficult to remember these things. But even saying that, it's never too late to start. We need to take up the scriptures. It's very good to be here, but we need to go home and make these things our own. Let me do so. For his name's sake.